From the studios of Wavefront Audio Visual Engineering in Schenectady, New York, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, crime, greed, corruption, and all of the wonderful things that happen when you mix them together. Like any responsible little brother, we tell on Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host as we explore this world of the high tech. This is episode 48 of Little Brother, dated the 21st of August, 2021. Stay tuned. Little Brother is right around the corner. As always, I'd like to remind everyone that the opinions and views expressed in this program are strictly those of the participants and not necessarily those of anyone who may, for whatever reason, attempt to claim them. Responsible parties with an opposing viewpoint may request an opportunity for a rebuttal. So let's get started. This first one caught my attention as a ham radio operator. A sophisticated phishing attack that mimics an Excel document in Office 365 and prompts unwitting users for their login credentials in order to view it has been using text encoded in, of all things, Morse code in order to evade security measures. The document is packed away in various segments, each designed to slip by endpoint security unnoticed and to be assembled on the user's machine after slipping through. In this case, Morse code is just being used as a simple cipher to obfuscate the meaning from the endpoint security software. This threat changes its strategy roughly every 37 days on average, and so in all likelihood they've moved on to another cipher at this point, but it's amusing nonetheless. Is ransomware on the news again? Why, yes, yes it is. It seems like the Colonial Pipeline ransomware attack earlier this year has led to an interesting component in the infrastructure bill making its way through Congress, cybersecurity. The bill includes $2 million for specific cybersecurity efforts, including $1 billion for grants to local governments. Concerns include securing pipelines, of course, but also water and electrical systems, the disruption of which can prove disastrous not just to the economy, but also to the safety and security of the general public. It seems that Apple doesn't realize that when you find yourself in a hole, you should probably stop digging. Further to last week's news about the privacy-invasive measures that Apple is implementing in the name of protecting the children, Apple's senior VP of software engineering, Craig Federighi, has expressed the idea that its new system will enable a more private world. He has missed the point. The fact that Apple is willing to scan the contents of users' devices opens the door to scanning for other reasons, and it's only a matter of time before a government compels them to do so. In fact, around this time last year, here in the US, a bill was proposed and thankfully defeated that would have done just exactly that. While we're on the topic of Apple's new scanning, security researchers have been busy making a hash of it, if you'll pardon the pun. Well, Asuhariat Yigvar has set the stage for us by recreating the algorithm that Apple is using to scan photos and posting it to his GitHub page. In very short order, research scientist Corey Cornelius was able to create a noisy image that would reproduce the same hash as a test image that he'd had of his dog. In no time, a Google Drive was loaded up with completely innocent images that were able to set off Apple's child porn detector. I liken this to the iCar barcode attack that I described in episode 46, in that something completely harmless is being used to set off a defensive measure. It's kind of like a digital allergy. In Texas, a data migration was taking place that moved data belonging to the Dallas Police Department. Data migrations take place all the time and usually raise no attention because the data that was in the original location all makes its way to the new one. Not so in Dallas, though. After the migration completed, the Dallas Police Department was 22 terabytes short. 14 of those terabytes were later found and put into place. However, the remaining 8 comprising images, video, photos, and case notes, remain missing, jeopardizing a number of court cases. For the record, this is why you back up your data and you check your backups. In Afghanistan, after the takeover on Sunday, the Taliban advertised a WhatsApp number for people to call, ostensibly for citizens to report violence, looting, and other forms of social disorder. On Tuesday, Facebook, the owner of WhatsApp, took the step of blocking this number, along with other official Taliban channels. This is not without precedent. Facebook carried out a similar shutdown of a Taliban communications channel when they took over the city of Kunduz in 2016. While the motive is clear and easy to understand, ultimately it deprives citizens of a channel to contact the de facto government in the region. It's understandable that Facebook might not want to be party to the operation of the Taliban, but they are, for better or for worse, running things in Afghanistan right now, and cutting off communications like this only serves to cause more problems for the already troubled citizenry. And those are the headlines. You're listening to Little Brother. Last week, I mused that maybe there was a need for a new segment of the show called Who Got Pwnked This Week? Well, here it is, the first installment, as promised. Well, I spoke to a friend of mine a few days ago, and he said that he wasn't familiar with the terms pwn and pwnt. So, before I begin, let's just take a quick lesson in hacking jargon, or leet speak, as it's called. Back in the 80s, this jargon began to form, partly as a way to make it difficult to filter for hacking-related content on message boards. The term started out as own. To own a system is to take adverse control over it. For example, John Draper is famous for owning the telephone system using a whistle that came in a cereal box. Over time, the O turned into a P in order to hide from message filters, making the term pwn, spelt P-W-N. The past tense evolved into the term pwnt, spelt P-W-N-T. So, when the cyber invaders take control over a computer system or network, it is said to be pwnt. So, who got pwnt lately? The pwn of the week this week is T-Mobile. On Monday, T-Mobile confirmed that they were hacked. Not a ransomware attack this time, but instead customer data were stolen, including social security numbers, IMEIs, names, addresses, phone numbers, for roughly 30 million customers. This sensitive customer data is being sold online for a price of 6 bitcoins, or approximately $280,000. Apparently, this is not the first time that T-Mobile has been breached in this fashion. And while we're talking about pwns that jeopardize personal data, it seems that the Census Bureau were also breached. Now, blazing forth at the speed of bureaucracy, this breach was only just reported this week, slightly over 20 months after the fact. That's right, my friends, this breach took place in January of 2020, pre-pandemic. This actually raises two problems, both related to the slowness of the organization. First, whatever data the attackers may have exfiltrated has been out and doing potential damage for 20 months. Second, if the organization had the ability to move faster, this wouldn't have happened. The specific vulnerability that was used here was originally identified in December of 2019, and Citrix, the vendor whose software was breached, provided steps on how to prevent it from happening, how to mitigate the vulnerability. Well, not satisfied just to be breached, the Bureau took long enough to investigate that critical logs that might have provided useful forensic data have aged out and been deleted. Your tax dollars at work, my friends. Little Brother is produced, recorded, edited, and hosted by yours truly, Chuck Ritter. Special thanks to Fungaboo and the crowd at Helix for web hosting support. Shout out to the Albany 2600 group, also to SG for pointing out that I needed to define my jargon. Our headline music is Adrenochrome by Super Action 80. Our Who Got Punk music is Analog Summer 3 by Asarhad. And our theme music is Around Chaos by Heatseeker. Join us next week when Little Brother tells on Big Brother once again. Stay safe and be well.